The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And do we have an intro?
Oh, man, I thought you were going to do North Beach.
We are so on this tonight.
Yes.
Because do you want to get secure and private access to the internet? Of course you do. A VPN service provides you a secure and encrypted tunnel for online traffic to flow. Nobody can see through the tunnel and get their hands on your internet data. NordVPN is the best VPN if you're looking for a peace of mind when you use public Wi-Fi, access personal and work accounts on the road, or you want to keep your browsing history to yourself. Lord knows I do. Protect all your devices. Do you use Windows at work, macOS at home, and Linux for your special projects? No problem. There's a NordVPN application for each of these, plus apps for iOS, Android, and Android TV. Oh, and also encrypted proxy extensions for Chrome and Firefox. Best of all, with one NordVPN account, you can secure up to 6 devices at the same time. Enjoy a fast and stable connection anywhere. Buffering is the ultimate buzzkill, so streaming or downloading files with a slow internet connection is not an option. No worries. You just need a VPN service that offers a fast connection with no limits on bandwidth. You need NordVPN. Choose from over 5,500 NordVPN servers in 59 countries and enjoy the fastest VPN experience. Having more servers means less load, and the wide variety of locations means there's a higher chance you'll find one nearby. We're talking super fast servers, 5,200 plus in 59 countries. Unlock Netflix and your favorite entertainment websites. 30-day money-back guarantee protects data while traveling in public, airport, and coffee shops. CyberSec Suite also acts as an ad blocker. Faster connection with NordLinks. No data logging, 24/7 customer support. We're talking live chat and emails and up to 6 simultaneous connections. Double data encryption for increased anonymity. Look, we have a special deal for all of our listeners. Go to nordvpn.com/survivornsfw and use the coupon survivornsfw at checkout to get a 2-year plan with a huge discount plus one additional month for free. That's NordVPN, NordVPN/survivornsfw, and be sure to use that promo code survivornsfw to get a 2-year plan with a huge discount plus one additional month for free. nordvpn.com/survivornsfw. The promo code again is survivornsfw. Whew, man. Now we're talking the challenge All-Stars reunion, and I know it's a podcast because one of my cats just took a shit right before a podcast, and that's how I know. A fucking podcast. Oh, Alex, Lauren, Johnny, and here we are. Okay. We talked, peek behind the curtain. We talked a little bit before we went on the air, and I love the reunion special. You guys love the reunion special, but what do we learn new? Nothing, because we had everyone that counted on the podcast to tell us these exact same stories, but in greater detail. So if there was something that jumped out that you saw on the reunion show and you're like, oh man, I wonder, we have covered, as I said, I think everything, you know, like Lauren, you were saying, Mark Long said that, you know, Alex, Stella said that. I mean, it's like, we had the scoops all season long.
Absolutely. And that's why you all need to keep listening to Reality NSFW on future challenge seasons, because we get the scoops before they do.
Apparently. Take that, Maria Menounos and Nate Burleson. Why is Nate Burleson co-hosting this?
So what you see the challenge, MTV likes bringing professional athletes on, and I think Nate Burleson, I think, was actually a good choice. He's been widely acclaimed since he retired. A lot of people speak very highly of him and his ability on TV as a host or a co-host or an analyst. And I think you actually saw from him, as you haven't seen from other hosts of reunion shows, you can tell that they at least watched the show or at least knew of these people before hosting. So I thought he had good timing comedically with some of the cast members. He was able to rib them appropriately and able to flow within the segments with the help of Maria Menounos, who's just, you know, a pro's pro.
Yeah. I mean, I loved him on, I thought he was great, but I'm just I think Nate Burleson would be good. He wouldn't have entered my radar. If I'm trying to figure out a co-host with Maria Menounos to talk the Challenge All-Stars, Nate Burleson isn't in my top 10.
Well, you could have really just stopped right there with Maria Menounos, because she's done it in the past. And her whole thing is hosting and interviewing people and celebrities and reality stars. So it's really right up her alley. I just think they really like having that athlete on there as well. Or, they used Vernon Davis the past few years. And they've used, Dolph Ziggler and The Miz, who was a former Challenge guy, but, professional wrestlers, people that have that athletic background, to try to really show what you guys are doing is legit. And I can say that because I'm a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
They had Victor Cruz host Champs versus Pros a while back as well. So they can get any type of athlete on there.
Yeah. Oh, well, they did pitch, going, what is, it's the fifth biggest sport in the world.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Ever Challenge Mania back in the, when they were starting back up, that Derek's big thing was, this is the fifth major sport. You hear that from Bill Simmons was constantly parading that as well. And so it really just circled with that. And you sort of get that more of that feeling from MTV's now behind that too, when they're advertising it for the Super Bowl, along with the whole Paramount Plus thing. They had their own separate ad just to show Challenge All-Stars, the fifth major sport of America, is coming back,
Yeah. I think an NFL star does add credence and credibility to that statement. So as I said, I thought he was great. I was like, I think this is a good idea. I'm for it. We did get a lot of our hits that Pete has provided us over the season, throughout the episode, which I thought it was, a nice callback, Mo Money, Mo Problems, Notorious B.I.G., Feel Me Flow, Naughty by Nature, Good Vibrations, Marky Mark. But it started with Thunderkiss 65 by a White Zombie. We did not hear that in the previous episode, right?
I don't believe so. I don't recall writing that song down ever in any of the episodes.
And I'm a huge fan. That was ECW's intro song for a long time back when they were in syndication on Sunshine Sports. For those of you that remember back to that, when you had to scour the satellite feeds at 3 a.m. in the morning on a Friday night to find your ECW fix. So, let's go through, let's see, I guess we can start with, LT Sleep Eats. I've dated girls that have talked in their sleep, full conversations. Definitely I've been with my fair share of snorers. I've had friends that I did not share bed with that had been known to pee the bed occasionally. Yikes. Sleep eating. This is a first. Have you guys ever heard of anyone sleep eating?
No, but can we talk about this real quick? It's a freaking bag of Doritos here. I don't want to wake up with all that cheese on my pillow and the sheets. I just don't understand how that happens.
Sometimes you have the munchies, man.
Yeah, but I would pick a more once again, I've had many girls in my bed. If a girl came to bed with a bag of chips, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? it's like, oh, I'll be careful. I'm like, you ain't that careful. It's impossible to be that careful with fucking chips and or Doritos.
And you know what? who knows what they actually had in supply as a snack in there. Like, it could have been just something off of catering. They're like, okay, this is the only thing I can grab. I'm going to snag that. But, like, unintentionally, you're asleep and you're like, chips.
And I'm just the TikTok roommate in there hearing the crunching of the chips. That would annoy the living hell out of me.
Yeah, but Doritos, you have sharp corners.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, good way to cut up your mouth while you're sleeping.
I mean, these are, you know, twin beds, so you're bound to eventually roll over on this. And as I said, your pillowcase is hating you. I mean, like, you know, I hate Doritos residue on my hands.
That mm-hmm. Right.
You know, touch a shirt, you know,
that's what I was thinking too. More. I wasn't thinking about the bed or anything. I'm like, I wouldn't want that just sticking to my hand all night.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've done so many like autograph signings back in the day. Like the best thing about the quarantine and everything that's come, like I hate shaking hands. I mean, I just can't stand it. And so for that to be, and it sucks now because, you know, we are returning to a bit of normalcy. And the first thing motherfuckers are trying to do is shake my hand. And I'm like, no, we're good. We're getting the allowance to remove our masks.
Right. So, mm-hmm.
I didn't see an allowance that said start shaking hands. I hope I never do.
Yeah, give me that Howie Mandel. Give me the fist. Pound it. Or just say hi. You know, like, use your words.
Oh, what's up works just fine. I'll respond to that. So, but pre-corona, you know, I've done, you know, just hundreds of autograph signings or, you know, meet and greets or, you know, whatever. And you have that fan that walks up with the fucking Cheetos hands or the Doritos hands. I'm just like, oh my God, no. Like, you know, and they're the first to fucking put their hand out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because it's self-awareness.
Is it?
I'm saying more of a lack thereof of self-awareness.
I'm fully aware of what you meant, but I'm just telling you that there is no self-awareness to any degree. Like, I mean, once again, another good thing to come out of the court, you know, people are washing their hands more often.
Thank God.
I have a friend that you know, his biggest takeaway from the quarantine, he's just like, he goes, I brush my teeth a lot more. Like, I mean, he goes, you know, I brush my teeth whenever, you know, back before Corona. But now, I mean, because, you know, if I'm having to wear a mask, I have to smell it. So I brush my teeth twice as much. I was like, well, God bless America.
Whoever helps us get better hygiene, I'm all for it.
Right? I am pro good hygiene. But yeah, fucking, you know who you are. You're probably watching this podcast right now. If you have fucking Cheetos or Doritos hands, don't try to fucking shake anybody's hands. And go one step further. Even if you don't have fucking Cheetos or Doritos hands, don't fucking shake anyone's hands. It's okay. I like a good nod. You know, say what, like Ice Cube had a song. He says, you know, if you're hanging near, I'm gonna tell you loud and clear, get off my dick and tell your bitch to come here. But it, like he says, when you see him, say what up, Ice Cube, and then break.
Right.
And, I got a chance to meet Ice Cube 1991. I was in high school and he was at concert and like we went to the hotel across from the Roanoke Civic Center. He was there and I walked up and I'm like, what up, Ice Cube? And he goes, what up, G? And that was it. That was the whole car. I didn't shake his hand. I just said, what up, just like he told me to in the song. And I walked away like I was supposed to.
Yeah.
So
that's all you got to do. All you got to do.
There we go. Now we know. I mean, I'm here to educate folks.
Yeah. So I guess like future seasons, if you see LT on your season, just like, hide any of the sticky food, the Doritos, and just be like, hey, I'm gonna put some fruit there. You can stack on some fruit.
I'm thinking like gummy bears would be okay. They're quiet. Gummy bears don't typically leave a residue.
Yeah, I would say anything that's not in a plastic bag.
Together though, they could stick together really long, and then your hands could get kind of sticky, and it could melt in your hand. See, what if you grabbed a handful of gummy bears, and then you just had a fist of them, and just slept with it like that? You know, and it could get kind of messy.
Palms are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti. So. Have some mom spaghetti ready. Who knows?
That's what you need to eat at night.
There was vomit on his sweater already.
I love a good 8 Mile reference. So next we learn that Kellyanne is Kendall's PR rep.
Well, it sounds like the person who organized who was invited to come and who wasn't, they did not invite Kendall to show up. They didn't invite Arista. There was a lot of people that they didn't invite.
Yeah.
Like, I think intentionally they didn't invite. And from what I've seen from social media, like, obviously, like, Kellyanne and Kendall are very close.
Yeah.
Maybe they became close in the house.
Yeah. But, I feel like they became close in the house and even closer out after.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My take on that was, like, you know what? I'm all for being a protective friend. Like, yeah. You know what? If someone's not there to defend themselves, be their number one cheerleader and supporter. And that's what you have to do on screen. But maybe off screen, and maybe they are doing this off screen, like, constructive criticism is okay. Like, negative comments are okay. Not everyone's going to react to the person that you like the same way as you do. Like, there's going to be people who just have different personalities, have conflicting interests, what have you. Like, just because Jemmy and Johnny say, like, oh, she was hard to deal with in the house, doesn't mean everyone thought that. It was just, in their opinion, it was.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I felt that Kellyanne started the reunion, like, on the attack. So, and you know, I think she felt attacked about, you know, comments of her friend, but I just think she came out, you know, like, as I said, on the attack. And then I felt that almost like a defeatist at it, like she kind of just tapped out. And I was really hoping to get more of a just a fun, like, I think Kellyanne is a fun character.
Mm-hmm.
She is,
and,
yeah.
And I don't, and I, you know, I think it sucks that they put her in a defensive mode out of the gate. And
right.
I don't think that we got that. I mean, like, I did on Pearl Island's DVD commentary. We filmed at we did the recording at Margaritaville Studios in Santa Monica. And so for for the first episode, since it's at Margaritaville Studios, they brought us margaritas. You know, and so we had a few margaritas, and then, you know, for the second episode, they brought us margaritas, and we had, and the guy before the third episode, he was just like, yeah, I don't think you can have another margarita, and gave everybody a margarita but me. And I'm just like, and guess who ain't fucking talking this episode, motherfucker.
Right.
So, and it sucks because, you know, like, you go back now and you know, watch with the DVD commentary on, you know, you have some fun stories and exchanges with me, and, you know, bitter Johnny Fairclay. I'm just like, go fuck yourself. You know, there's nothing. And do I regret that? Yeah. But I also regret that guy fucking making a part. Like, we all had the same amount. So, you know, did I come off as more excitable? Yeah, but I'm just more excitable. I'm more excitable, zero margaritas.
Right.
And for that guy to fucking, you know, put me on the defensive and ruin that fucking experience for me, you know, after the fact, you know, that I feel I can kind of identify with Kellyanne. It's just like, oh, I bet she wishes, and you know, and I'm not putting words in her mouth or anything like, but I bet she wishes that she could have given us that fun loving character that I think she's potentially one of the most fun loving people on the cast.
Yeah, like you can feel it in her energy. You see it in her posts. Like she's very positive. Like she has that mindset. She can be very fun. I think she can be very fiery. Like we saw it when she was younger on the island, and there was a lot of references on social media about her. Like, oh, the island, Kellyanne is coming. I'm like, she was trying to. And then I think she just felt so many people were like trying to just talk her down. She's like, well, can I not even have an opinion? Okay, I'm just going to be like, here now, and I'll only come out if I need to defend someone. And I was like, I wanted to hear more from her. Like, she was her. I wanted to hear more from her and John A. Like, the two best performing women on the season in the final. The only thing we got from John A. was, oh, look, I have rope burns still on the back of my leg. I was like, she had so much that you could talk about to her, and you gave nothing. And it's the same with Kellyanne. Like, Kellyanne has this thing on social media, and I'm sure she was saying this while they filmed the reunion about like the men and women, like there should have been a top prize for both, just because at some point, if it becomes one, a Darrell and a yes is always going to beat a Kellyanne up a hill. It's just because of the genetics of when you have two athletes, more likely than not, the male athlete's going to outperform the female athlete because they just have bigger muscles, bigger bone structure.
Yeah, LeBron James versus the number one WNBA player in a game of one-on-one.
Yeah.
If you're not putting your money on LeBron James, you're insane. I mean,
yeah. And you know, it's like at first I was like, I'm like reading her comments, and at first I feel like, oh, she's just saying that because she could have won. But when you take a step back and you're looking at it, like, yeah, Kellyanne has really good points there. And you see all the cast is like behind her with that sentiment. Like Mark Long was quote tweeting her and liking it. So I'm sure if he has any say this next season, it'll be, if it's a single season again, it'll be a male winner and a female winner at the end. And maybe it'll be like 300,000 per person, or they'll chuck in the money because they see how good it is to be like 500K for the male and female top performer.
Yeah. Right. Like I really seriously wanted to hear more about her experience on the show, what she went through. And as you brought up the tweet, Alex, I think that could have been a really nice topic for them to be able to hash out, talk through at the reunion, because I do agree in that scenario and how that final went. I think top girl, top guy should have gotten the prize money, no doubt. But we also see in regular challenge seasons as well, they run through the same type of obstacles, and we've seen a Cara Maria win.
The Cara Maria, it's a diamond in the rough type of thing. It's like her or a Laurel, like they're built different. Like
they spent
all year doing CrossFit, like going insane, like an Emily Schramm CrossFit all the time. Like they'll beat a guy's ass in an elimination, let alone in a finals. But it's like, and the last point here is like, if you're going to make half the segments about Kendall, invite Kendall on so that she can speak on the topics herself.
So she can defend herself and not have to sit there and see what people say about on social media and what the rest of the cast is saying about her. And she's not able to speak for herself. I absolutely agree. If you're going to have segments that are majority about people that aren't there, it's not fair to them for them not to be able to have a voice on the reunion stage.
Yeah. So I don't know. As I said, she looked great. wish we could have seen the fun-loving version, because I feel that person's there and we didn't get to see that. And definitely the debate over, you know, whether there should have been male and female winners. I understand why they didn't broach that, because it just makes them look bad.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a behind the scenes, like we see it now. We're going to make that correction for the second season type of thing.
I think so too. I don't think there, I mean, you know, especially with, you know, Mark Long being, I think it's one of those deals where Mark Long was a producer going into this, but once they said, welcome to the challenge, he's no longer a quote unquote producer.
Right.
And, you know, and he might see some things, but it's just like, you're not a producer right now. So you're a producer before this thing starts. And then as soon as we're wrapped and then you get your check, you are, but you know, and so I think this is one of those deals where they got one under their belts, and they know, you know, what the pluses and minuses of this thing was.
Yeah, right. They also make a lot of changes. Honestly, a few here and there, and that's one of them, along with the colors. Those are colors, my only two. I just have two.
Yeah, colors. I could live without the track. I mean, you know, I enjoy the tractor trailer on a regular challenge. Excuse me. But for All-Stars, I don't need to see them do that. Let's replace the fucking tractor trailer challenge with the pin the tail on the donkey. I'm more than okay with that. Sugar cookies in the sand.
Sugar cookies in the sand. I agree. I get the point that they were making in this first season. But I think if you're doing a truncated season where you have less rest time than you do in a normal challenge, and even in a normal challenge, like say it was 2 days rest instead of 1 day rest, like your body can only handle so much. And I think if they would dial it back, like just a tiny bit, not a lot, but just like a tiny bit on some of the daily challenges that they do, I think it'll be more beneficial to their cast. Like keep them more like, have more pep in their step, more lively in their confessionals, because they'll have that more energy, and then you can save it and have really killer eliminations.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're not 25,
right?
These are 45-year-old, you know, a vast majority of the cast, you know, it's 40 plus people. Like, I mean, they've proven everything they need to have proven by getting on here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're there. So like an eliminate, like, you know, fucking Australian Survivor, one of the coolest immunity challenges was charades.
Oft. I loved the charades challenge.
You know, and you can have people that shit on the idea of playing charades for immunity. All it is a fucking random way to pick a fucking winner of a fucking challenge, which should be what all these fucking things are. And if I had the option of watching, like, on a Survivor, going over something, under something, and doing a fucking puzzle, or playing fucking charades, I'd rather watch charades.
It's more entertaining, like, and then people fast forward now through challenges on Survivor because they're the same standard challenges. They need to spice it up a little bit more. So I absolutely agree.
Yeah, and when you're called the challenge, the premise, obviously, it's really about the relationships and the professionals and all that, the interpersonal dynamics. But a lot, there's going to be a lot of people like, it's called the challenge. I want to see fucking challenges. There's a way you can make a very visually pleasing challenge for the viewer and a concept that makes sense to the viewer without killing your castmates or trying to make them drown in below freezing water.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like seeing blood coming from Katie Doyle's face.
TJ did.
Yeah, and TJ did. Well, and that brings us back to, even if you look at last season, Double Agents, when they were up on that truck and they had to wrestle to push the other person off. I didn't really like that because so many people got injured and then therefore had to leave the show and didn't even get a chance to fully compete. So I was not a fan of that particular challenge.
Well, I didn't like anyone that got hurt, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, like, the comment on that point, like, you can see in All Stars though, like the tractor trailer that they did in this concept, like, the only way you were getting hurt is like if you tried to do a jump and you bounced off and it would hurt because you're going 40 miles per hour, but like there was no instance there where like you were gonna fall and like be in a position where you could break something. You would just be hanging there at that point. Like a lot of their challenges outside of the first challenge where they were like having to swim and dive into that water that was colder than what they expected it to be, like there was really no true challenge that they did where I ever felt like, oh, they're in danger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I pinned the tail on the donkey and sugar cookies in the sand. I ain't against it.
I'll even go for like a simple thing of, oh, we're going to split you into two teams. It's tug of war.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would love a tug of war. I mean, cause like when we see the quote unquote version of a tug of war, you know, in an elimination, that's cool.
Right.
So like, why not do a schoolyard pick? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have an idiot on one team that poorly picks, then, you know, but I would think you could be like, you know, if I'm a captain and, you know, someone takes Mark, you know, I'm taking Letarian.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you know, and then, you know, Big Easy, Nehemiah. I mean, like, it's, you know, visually you should be able to make two even teams.
Right. And like, the way I see it is like, you could easily do like camp games and elevate it to a challenge. Like I'm thinking like tug of war, I'm thinking building the bonfire. Like you have two teams and you're building a bonfire that has to break, like sort of like the fire making challenge, but in a massive, bigger way. Sure. Or like the greased watermelon and throw it in the water and like you have two people have to run and try to grab it and bring it to their side. Like there's like so many ideas that are just so simple that could be executed and make it look visually pleasing for television. And I'm sure the challenge is singing about that at the end of the day they like their giant tractor trailers and anything that involves putting people in heights.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we got a brief look at Tech Money. I would have loved Tech Money on 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We could have seen Tech Money and Jemmy.
Oh, yes.
Instead of Jemmy and Nehemiah.
We could have seen that.
Right. All right. We're going to get to that. So we go to our winner and grand champion. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Yes is paying rent. How cool is this guy?
Like, he's a man of his word. Like we've talked to him 2 separate podcasts now, and I'm sure you have talked with him more offline, Johnny. And it's like everything that he comes off as, it's like, it just feels genuine. And then you see the action and you're like, okay, it doesn't just feel genuine. It is legitimately genuine.
Yeah, because I feel like there were some people on that stage that potentially didn't love the idea of Yes winning. And then when he explains what he, they're just like, shit. I mean, if anyone's going to be a fucking representative of us, as it was like, this is a pretty fucking solid pick.
Yeah. Another person who they don't talk to that much in this reunion.
No, he doesn't say that much at all, but he's such a pure, kind soul. And then when he was able to speak, you could just see everyone was gravitating towards him. They wanted to listen to what he had to say just because that is who he is as a person.
Yeah. So no, I thought that was a cool moment. And then it's conveyed to us, the audience, from Yes, given this platform, being on these shows, that they're given a responsibility to use this for good. And it's just like, wow. I mean, I have a new podcast dropping mid-June, every Wednesday, Help NSFW podcast. You can find it audio-wise at helpnsfw.com, and then on the video you can find it here if you're watching on the youtube.com/realitynsfw video feed. But I had the opportunity to do something good, and it's very off brand for me, and don't don't expect any of that shit here. So, but we've me and my co-host Kendall, we've been stacking some episodes because summer vacations are going to be here, and so we'd like to have some in the can, and actually just work kind of quickly, to work through our chemistry together in a faster pace versus one a week, and it's been really cool, really fulfilling, and I feel that like Jess said, there is a responsibility that we kind of inherit when we sign up to do these things. I mean, there's plenty of bad stories out there. Mike Boogie, made the news this week. There's tons of bad news reality television stories. So I could have potentially been a lot of those bad stories. Fortunately, I've decided to make some good decisions, here and there. And I thought it was really cool what Yes said. And if you're of the options of winner, I mean, that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm Mark Long and now you're putting the producer hat on and you're taking a step back, after you're pissed you didn't win yourself, you're like, oh, this is fantastic for us. We have this guy to be our spokesperson now for up until we get that second season up and running and on TV. And if you're thinking of to the network level, you're like, oh, Paramount Plus is going to love this guy. He's an advocate. He's doing great work for people that can't do it for themselves. And he's very good linguistically. He's able to really get his point across well.
Yeah. Yeah. So really cool stuff. Next, their discussion of, were there floaters in this game? And I loved Jimmy, I worked harder, smarter, not harder. So that's on you, not me.
She does. She does it all the time. She has one of the best political games out there, because I get it. If you don't have to go into elimination, you just had a really good social game. There's different facets to every single challenge season. And if you can avoid elimination and get to the final, that's the ultimate goal, because then you're setting yourself up with an opportunity to win.
Yeah, I feel like she is kind of like the epitome of the Big Brother strategy on the challenge.
Oh, yeah. But she was doing this before Big Brother came across, I think this is also where we sort of see why there's that division between our love couple of Ysela and Yes, that we want to be together, but there is, you can visibly see the tension there during that conversation. But what I love about both of them, I see both of their points.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, you know what? If you're a coaster, you're a coaster. It's like the Big Easy being like, yo, Matt, I know who I am. If I can coast through this game, I'm good. If I have to do elimination, then I do elimination. But if I can coast and make my way there, then I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's, that was really cool. So, speaking of Big Easy, they had to show the fucking Big Easy clip. I mean, did we need like,
no,
we all know it. I mean, anytime they show it the fucking season, how many times they showed it throughout the history of the challenge? I mean, I think a brief reference to it, if need be, but I didn't need to fucking see it. I didn't want to see it.
Well, you know, it's the same with all shows. Like, you see it with Big Brother whenever they talk about, like, major fails, like, throwing it back to Big Brother 3, where Marcellus doesn't use the veto to save himself, and then he goes home immediately after because of it. Or, like, you have Eric Reichenbach, Micronesia.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Like, they always show that. Any chance they get, they show that, or Gravedigger James with his two idols, and then he goes home with two idols in his pocket. Yeah. You know, it's like,
as I said, I thought they did a more than effective job telling that story throughout the season. That it's just like, you know, hey, Big Easy, let's talk about your accomplishment. Like, we know that. So why do we need to see it one more fucking time? And you know, and I think, you know, Big Easy, you know, as happy as he was, you know, for the conversation to turn, I think he was almost nauseated, just like, oh, the fucking clip.
Oh, you know he is. Like, I think he's been nauseated of it forever, and he's just like, dude, show me actually making it to the top this time instead of showing me dying. We've all seen it. I didn't die. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so I did like his retort, you know, might win the motherfucker one time. I thought it was probably the most eloquent of sentence exchanged here on the reunion show.
Oh, I loved it.
So Hisela showed off her $5,000 knee brace. Stone Cold Steve Austin would be proud. He would also have two of them because that's how Stone Cold's knees are. Hisela was... actually going to join us this evening. She did have her all-encompassing knee surgery last week, and first day went amazing and a little more extreme than she anticipated. I think she knew, but she didn't, like, you know, she's so positive and so strong. I mean, she's
strong-willed.
Strong-minded. Yeah, she's just like, fuck that knee surgery. I mean, you know,
I ran on it.
she had a migraine this evening, and I think that's completely understandable with everything going on. So, Hisela, know that you know, you might have your West Coast man, but I'm here on the East Coast, and I love you. And you are missed. So, but I thought one of the best moments of the reunion was Hisela, you know, explaining to us that it didn't matter if she couldn't finish that elimination, that there's no way that Big Easy wasn't going to finish. And, you know, with Big Easy crying, I thought it was just really cool TV.
Yeah, I just thought it was, like, genuine. It really got me, like, thinking. It's like such a trivial moment, you know. It's like, if you really think about it, it's like, oh, it's an emotional moment. They're doing all that, whatever, you know. Let's get to the next segment. But it's like, I feel like it really encapsulates what's wrong with the current modern challenge with the new competitors, and they throw all these internationals and everything, you know, and the Big Brother people. It's like the people that they cast for All Stars when they were originally casted back in the 90s and the early 2000s and even 2010s with, like, John A and Jemmy, it was like they were casted to be good television, but also they had a story, they had a background, they had something of value to bring in, and it wasn't just to become famous or become an influencer and everything. But now in the modern challenge, and especially with who they pull internationally, like, let's just find models or people who did the Geordie's Shore or Love Island or a off-brand version of Survivor, and we're gonna throw them in there and be like, maybe one of them works, but the other 19 we'll never see again. So, like, we don't get this bond with the new cast of today as we did up until really like the mid 2010s, but because like you still had Real World and Road Rules, even Are You the One, Fresh Meat, like you got to see their life story. And now you're bringing people in, not in their like young 20s, they're in their like mid 30s coming in for their rookie season. Yeah. And you're just like, well, who the fuck's this? And why should I care if they're never going to be seen again?
Well, you're right. They never would have gotten on the show because they were casting storylines back then, especially for the Real World and all of that, because people such as Ruthie has a story. Tech has a story. That's how they got on, because they wanted to follow that. And I absolutely agree with you. That's why I have loved this All-Stars, because you're able to see people's life, what they've gone through, and get to know them as people.
Ace was the first boot on this season and had more of a story to provide to this season than half the cast on Double Agents. And I'm being generous by only saying half.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like even Leo Rush, whose story I know, I don't think they did an effective job of telling his story. And he has one.
Yes.
Well, they didn't do it because they knew that he was going to leave and like, you know, quote unquote, quit. And so they're like, we're not going to bother showing it. He's going to be a nobody on the show. And then one day we're going to do like a 2-minute segment about him missing home. And oh, he's gone.
But as a viewer, I want to see that. That's why I watch reality television. A lot of the shows have gotten away from that. You know, Survivor, we used to at least get to know people's backgrounds. Now it's, you know, throw them in there. And we know nothing about some of them. And they make it to top 5, top 4. And I still don't know who they are.
But we got the challenge where they went over something under something puzzle.
So, and sometimes they do that multiple times.
Yep, it's true. All right. we get a little bit of the behind the scenes on Trishel and Katie Doyle. And what we didn't see on the show is Trishel packed her shit and was ready to quit. Katie talked her out of it. And I felt like Katie got an exact reverse edit on the reunion than she did on the actual show.
Right. Like, I feel like they needed to have this behind the scene footage actually on the show, because I think it gives more of a bigger picture of everything that was going on. Like, oh no, Katie wasn't just like going against her. There was expectations from Trishel's side of what she thought her ride or die, or who she thought would be her ride or die, would do. She wasn't doing them. Things came to a boil once her neck was on the line. And even despite that, Katie's like, hey, finish this out. You know, don't leave. Like,
why don't they, I don't understand why they could, there was 40 seconds.
Right.
That could have been added to just tell. I mean, like I said, I felt it was so, Katie was upset about the episode. I she was definitely upset with our coverage of discussing it. So trust me. But I mean, we were just giving our thoughts based on what was presented to us. And I felt that we were presented the exact opposite story tonight. And it's just like, then if you guys knew this, why tell that other story on the show?
Right. Like it just felt that episode was definitely like of the entire season, the weirdest edited one, just because you felt there was so much missing. And even with that 40 seconds, I'm like, I feel like that's not even half of it. But still, you were only showing it in the mindset of Trishel, not so much Katie.
Yeah,
and then it was toggled Katie's up wrong with the Kendall of it.
And we never got the build up to the fight or anything either. All of a sudden, boom, right on our screen, that's what we're seeing. I would have been happier knowing the conversation that Trishel and Katie had with each other, because then that kind of puts the pieces together.
Yeah. And even Trishel on a potential quit, you think they would give the friendlier edit to Katie just based, so.
And at the beginning, Trishel like said that she's a half quitter. Like, she literally fully admitted it. So if she was even doing that again, I would have shown that.
I think when you look at that episode from like a bigger lens, like, I feel like they're trying to show too much. And by showing too much, they didn't show enough. Because they were that whole thing was building up Trishel as like a redemption arc for her, because of how she left the challenge initially. She comes back, She gives a formal face-to-face apology to Anissa for her comments that ends up driving her to quit in that season.
Yeah.
They're really trying to build her up like, this is really my redemption story. So they're not going to paint her in a bad light. They're going to try to protect her as much as they can. We don't know what it is. So I'm speaking out of my mouth. I'm not saying she did anything wrong. Yeah. And then with the case, I think they're like, well, Katie's not saying anything. That's our story. Like, Katie wasn't speaking up for her friend, and maybe they should have been more specific with each other about what our terms were in this challenge house. But they're like, Katie wasn't speaking to her. They hear it. She hears it from Derek before she hears it from Katie. And that's when the fuse lights up. And, you know, they're like, oh, drama, even though we're not really going to share the full story, but this is the drama. And I was like, that episode could have been done better.
If they wanted that to be the storyline, I just found it somewhat pointless for them to show us that on the reunion if Katie's not even there to talk about it.
Neither of them are.
Yeah, like Trishelle's not there to talk about it. Katie's not there to talk about it. So yeah, I just feel as though it was really irrelevant.
Yeah, neither one of them were there, and they tell the complete opposite story on the reunion. And it's just like, okay, well then that just shows that you did bad storytelling on the episode.
Yeah. And I also just found it funny because I knew this was going to be her reaction. They're like, oh, you sell it. You have the scoop, right? Oh, yeah, I had the scoop. I actually wasn't there.
Yes.
That made me laugh.
We got that scoop first. So next, Orisa's aura killed the power. And I thought this was the biggest scoop of the whole thing. She had a wand.
Yeah, I didn't know about the wand, but I will say they were saying that she had the witch book, but it's been told by multiple castmates now that it was Kendall's witch book.
Oh.
Not Orisa's, but Orisa was reading it because there was nothing else to fucking read, in her words.
Okay. There you go.
So all right. But I think it's to assume it was Orisa's wand.
It was her wand. Hey, live your life, girl. I will never judge someone's views on what they believe in. And I honestly find it fascinating with people who have different views than myself. So I would probably want to have a conversation with Orisa just to see her mindset on it all.
She would be amazing on a podcast. Are you kidding? I would love to ask her so many questions.
We can't betray her.
My daughter, Piper, has multiple wands, but those are all of the Harry Potter variety.
I bet you Orisa will be like, nope, that's low rent. I can get the
low rent wands.
Low rent wand.
Get your Hufflepuff shit out of here. let's see. We get to the big Sella Anita storyline. One of the major battles that we had the season. And Sella is done with Anissa. That is it. Game, set, match. We are done. No more. And we had people attempting to defend Anissa because and Sella calls it out, you know, hey, I understand that, you know, the network loves her and y'all love her, and that's great. She just lied to my face, and that's it. You know, if she had come to me and said, I don't know, if she had come to me and said, you know, I'm voting Nehemiah, all those would have been fine. But for her to say, I'm voting yes, and then coming back and I find out she didn't vote, she was like, that's it.
So, yeah, she's don't speak for me and her relationship, because you weren't in that relationship. Like, we've known each other 15 years, separated from you, Derek, separated from you, Darrell. I did like that Darrell, like, actively, like, at first he's defending Anissa, and then he's like, okay, I heard your argument, and now I understand.
And
in your full right to be upset with her and, you know, not be friends with her. I understand Derek's side of him, because that's just Derek. Derek wants everyone to be friends.
Yeah.
And just be kumbaya, like, let's get everyone on the on Challenge Mania podcast up for our next live show, and we'll all be happy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fucking cousins again. No.
So, yeah, I thought it was well explained. Jimmy went from Tech Money to Nehemiah, but apparently nothing happened with Nehemiah. Are you calling shenanigans on this? Or
I don't think anything actually did happen with that.
Just a good cuddle?
That's what they were all saying, that he would be a spoon and dash.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's what he said.
And he's still claiming it, at least.
I feel like that checks out, because if you look at the other footage they had of, you know, when it went progressively more, they showed it.
Right.
And the extent of the footage with Nehemiah and Jimmy is Big Spoon.
They would have shown it if it went more than that. So that's why I fully believe that.
Yeah, that scene, they never showed the cover. Yeah. In that scene, they never showed the covers going over them.
Yeah.
They show the covers moving, but not the covers moving over them. When it's Ysela and Alton,
oh
boy, you should know.
Yes. I would have loved to have seen the Jimmy Tech Money romance.
Yeah,
that came so out of the blue. I'm like, you know what? I would have been all for it, because they were two of my favorite people in confessional.
Yeah.
It's like mega powers.
Yeah, we potentially get, you know, a combined confessional, like Chilltown style.
I would love that with those two. They'd be cutting everyone to pieces in there.
Oh, that would have been so fun. So next we find out Alton is not married.
No, he is not.
No.
Do we have real confirmation on that?
We only know as much as what Ysela has told us about the situation, really, because a lot of people don't know about it. So from what we know, it's more of a baby mama that Alton still had like some sort of feelings towards and wanted to make work, but from the baby mama's side, she was like, no, it ain't happening.
So
yeah, she does talk about it more extensively with Derek on the Challenge Mania podcast.
Okay. So, Alton's a secretive guy.
Yeah, he's a low key guy. He doesn't want to be on social media. Likes to go out in the woods, do his stuff. You know what? All for it. If you want to keep your life private.
Secretly smoke cigarettes, as we hear.
Yeah, that one was a shock to me. I wouldn't have expected him to be a smoker.
Mm-mm. I feel like he's one of those smokers that's not good at smoking. Like, you see people that smoke sometimes, and it's just like, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone should smoke, but they're not good at it, and it's just like, just don't do it.
Are they just holding the cigarette awkwardly, or what the heck?
I think everything's awkward. As I said, like, he doesn't look like a cigarette should touch him. Like there's not that vibe about him.
No, I always like looked at him like, I always thought of him as someone like, this body is a temple type of person, like. Any artificial influences cannot enter this body.
Go to lucy.co, use promo code Survivor if you are thinking about smoking, or if you're Alton and secretly listening or watching this podcast. Yes, next is the discussion of the ice challenge, and we had a fiery Kellyanne again, but once again, I felt more on the defensive than you know, the fun spirited fiery, or just fun spirited.
I feel like she was probably defensive. I don't want to speak for her.
Yeah,
I feel like she was feeling as if they were trying to come across like, oh, Kellyanne, why are you acting slutty on the ice? You know, like, no, like, you gotta do what you gotta do. And she's like, I think at this moment, I'm going to use the biggest muscle of my body, which is my butt.
Absolutely.
And use the hardest part of it and really try to chip away at the ice. And you know what? if the camera makes something out of it, the camera's going to make something out of it. But at this point, I'm only focused on doing what I need to do to win.
Yeah. And from what I heard from other people, you know, she didn't like that betrayal of, you know, the,
mm-hmm. yeah,
that, you know, that side of her. And it's almost like during the season, like I would imagine, and as I said, I could be completely wrong. I could imagine most of the season, you know, she's just fun loving, very innocent, you know,
right.
and like she had like, you know, probably a total of 45 seconds of moments that in a fun way, you know, was, you know, seductively looking, you know, but as yeah. I said, like not to be seductive, but in a fun, silly way. And, right. you know, it's just, and they're like, oh, grab those 15 seconds there, grab those 12 seconds there. And, you know, and whenever we show Kellyanne, we make sure we get those in there because you know her from the ice melt thing from before, and that's her gimmick. And I, you know, as I said, I don't know for sure, but you know, from what I've, you know, I've heard she didn't love that portrayal back then because there was so much more to her than that, and that's all they
right.
showed. And then it's almost like they went out of their way to grab those 45 seconds to splice throughout the season this time. And then, you know, if anything to ask about, you know, of course, they're like, hey, let's talk about the ice melt, Kellyanne. It's like, oh, stop it.
Right. Yeah. Like, it feels so weird because for the most part, I feel Challenge does a better job of showing these people as three-dimensional figures instead of just like, this is your box, stay in that box.
Yeah.
And like, I really feel that with her, they have these challenges like, oh, she's the sex appeal for this, but like she's so much more than that.
Yeah,
and I know that's her message too, is I'm so much more than that. Like I'm here to uplift women, like women empowerment, equal rights, all that stuff. Like there's so much more behind her, but they don't give her enough of an edit outside of, hey, she's hot. And oh, she's also good at challenges.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did a good job of showing what a strong woman she is, mm-hmm. but like, I felt like they just went out of their way to add that other stuff.
Right.
And I, you know, I feel like she went out of her way not to do that purposely. It's just like, oh my God, I fucking let loose for fucking 45 seconds in 24 days. And of course you have to fucking grab those, even though they weren't done in a sexual way. They were done in a fucking fun way, but heaven right. forbid, you know, let's.
Yeah. Like why not talk about how I had to drag Darrell up a hill in the yeah. final when Darrell's the best guy because he couldn't handle the peppers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, talk to her and John A. more. It's not going to say that again. Like talk about the final, like you have the people there from the final and then you have Beth there. Like, you have all these people from the final. Talk about the main event.
Yeah. So next we find out that, all right, have you heard this? If a bee stings you, to suck out the bee venom?
That was the first time I've ever heard that, but apparently it works.
I've heard about that when I was younger because I had friends that were allergic to bees.
Are you sure you didn't have an uncle that, you know?
No, that was not what happened.
I got a bee sting, Alex.
Nope. I cannot speak from experience. Okay. I can only speak from what my friends have told me. But I always feel though that with bee stings, it's like even if you're allergic, like if you get stung in the toe, that's not gonna end you. Like that, like you would just need some like penicillin, you know, like whatever. But like apparently it worked. I'm tired. I'm just throwing shit out here.
I mean, if people are allergic, they have the EpiPen with them. But if that's the first time you've ever gotten stung, you don't know what your reaction is going to be. Like some people instantly break out in hives and you literally cannot breathe if you're allergic. So, yeah, I mean, depending on where you get stung, I don't think makes a difference because it's just overall the reaction your body takes to it.
You know what? I would have preferred a funnier moment. I would have wished that it all happened and they thought, you know, oh, you know, like when you get stung by a jellyfish, that's how you fix it. Yeah. Like that would have been such a more funnier story than even the toe stung. Like, I got stung by a bee, so Alton peed on me.
Yeah. I'm going to use the bee sting stuff in just my dating life, I feel like. Both ways, like, you know, like, you know, it's just like, hey, were you, I think a bee just stung you, you know, and make my, or just like, I just got stung by a bee. What are we going to do about this?
Let me know how that works out for you. I'm interested to know.
Spoiler alert, it's not. it's very, very optimistic, Johnny Fairplay, I assure you. So, you know, last couple things. John A. Felt honored. I thought she was so awesome. Would have loved, you know, more from her. You know, but she, you know, for the, you know, 12 seconds that we saw her, you saw why we liked her as much as we did. And I think we were left, the final taste in our mouths as viewers is Derek is hungry. So I think Derek really regrets not showing what he can do in an elimination. You know, even though it is easier to not do that, I think Derek wanted to show that he could do that.
Yeah, and you, and like I more believe now than I did earlier in the season that there were specific instances where he was very much willing to go in, and everyone else was just like, "Dude, nah,
yeah,
you're not going in." Like
Derek wants his action. I could definitely.
Dude's a pit bull.
He wants to go into elimination. He wants to kick some ass. I think he was upset he didn't get to go in because he never got to have his shining moment. Yeah. Mark had his shining moment with going into elimination, getting the win. Big easy, yes. Yeah. So I think Derek is hungry to come back next season, get in an elimination, kick someone's ass, go to a final, and win it. He will still probably most likely be, if he is on next season, my number one draft pick if I get to pick first.
I think the first male elimination on All-Star 2 is Derek versus Yes.
Ooh.
If they're both on. Because I think that's my next point is – since we're sort of wrapping this up, like out of this cast, because you know what, they're all stars. They all are deserving in one way or another to come back. Obviously, not all of them are going to be back in the next season because there's going to be so much more fresh blood that are now like, oh, we saw how successful this is.
Yeah,
all right, I want in now.
You have the cast list in front of you?
Of the current cast, I do.
Okay, let's just go through one at a time and give her a yay or nay if we think they're coming back.
Okay, so we have Anissa. I think it depends.
Depends
on timing.
I think, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have had her on this, and I wouldn't have had Darrell either. So,
well, especially when they start the reunion by saying, all these people are retired challengers. And I'm like, Darrell and Anissa are standing right here.
Yeah. And Anissa's out filming the next season, so that's why she wasn't there.
Okay, well, I think she will be on a future All-Star season, though.
Yeah. Okay, next
person. Maybe not two, but so yes, Anissa.
Yeah, next person, Yasella. I don't think she'll be on the second season currently, but I do believe if she wants to come back, there's a spot for her.
Yeah, they'll have her back for sure.
I mean,
It depends on how soon.
How soon, yeah. I think if she is medically cleared, I think she's there because I think they want that. I think they want a continuance of that fire. So because I think Yes is back, and I think there's obviously, you know, some friction there, and I think they want to dwell upon that.
Okay, next person, Kendall, and based off how much she was spoken about as just part of the dynamic of the show, not even the cast members bringing her up. I say she's a yes.
Yep.
I see. The only thing I'm going to say why she might be a no and miss her window of opportunity is because of her job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What she does for work. I just don't see her being able to get that time off to go again, depending on what the time frame is.
Understand. But I think a lot of these is going to be at the time is right. I'm making the assumption the timing is right. She's there.
Yes.
I think we saw that she has a hunger to be back in this environment and this competition. And I think her watching this reunion is just going to light more of a fire under her to want to come in and prove people wrong.
Yeah.
And like, you know, don't speak on my name if I ain't there, you know?
Well, the whole gimmick with this is it's 2 weeks instead of, you know,
months,
the month taping and this go around, they had the quarantine and stuff like this. Moving forward, it looks like we can eliminate that part of it. So, you know, I think she could potentially get 2 weeks off. And you know,
right.
I think she's back.
I think she's back too. Next, he'll be back if he wants to be, or maybe he just wants to put his producer hat on for a season. Mark Long, I think if he wants to do it, he has the spot. Yeah. It's up to him.
I don't see, like, I see him doing less than more.
I agree.
Because I think he'll just be there, you know, producing.
Right. Like, I think he has a vision for this show, and I think he's going to see, I can have more of an impact on this show as a producer than as a player.
Yeah.
But like, I got to have my time.
Yeah. But I think he absolutely positively, probably more than anyone else, needed to be on this first season.
Oh, absolutely.
100%, because he started it, he put it in motion, and I think people would have been disappointed if he was not on the season.
A person I would have been disappointed on if he wasn't on the season now, Tech Money.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see him again.
I don't think we're going to see him again either, which is unfortunate, but I'm like, if they're like getting towards the end and they're like, we need a funny guy, we need someone who's there just to be wild, and just be someone truly that can themselves. Tech yeah. Money.
Yeah, I don't. I
think, but I would put him on the lower tier of this cast in terms of getting a callback.
Yeah, I would say, I would go all in on no.
Yeah, but I will go all in on yes. Yes is the next person on this list. If he wants to do it, he's there.
He's going to defend his title. That he wants to go out there.
He's already said, "Come for the crown, boys."
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I think this season really brought that fire back for him.
Yeah.
And knowing what he can do, not just for himself, but for his community and his passions, there's so much drive for him to want to do it. Even if he doesn't win another season, it's like there's so much incentive to come back.
As I said, I think the first male eliminator is going to be Derek versus Yes. It's going to be Derek calling in Yes.
That would be very interesting.
Are we gonna put a bet on this? If they're both on the season, are we gonna bet this right here?
We
right
can
now?
Figure it out when the time comes.
We will. We'll make it happen.
Next,
I'm willing to put some money on this.
That's fine. Let's.
Okay, gambler.
Let's let the stars align first.
Okay, what do you? I don't gamble that much, just a little bit.
Okay,
that's what they all say. So we talked about the king.
I bought $11,000 worth of WWE stock yesterday.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
Buy low.
I'm telling you, big things. Big things.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talked about the king of reality television. We're now on the queen, Beth. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go with a no.
I'm sure if she would want to do another one, but I'm not. I don't. The story's. We've heard the story. The story's been wrapped up.
Yeah, we got a bow on it, a happy ending. Goodbye, God bless.
Yeah, like she can be an advocate for the show without a doubt. I just don't think there's a spot.
Nope. No.
Next person, Ruthie. I think on the fence. It depends on who else is casted.
I'm gonna vote no. I think she's an amazing competitor. But I think there's other girls that are going to be able to deliver that little bit more than she can in terms of confessionals and all of that, along with the competitive side as well.
And there was some drama that they didn't show.
Right.
I think if they would have focused on it more or at all, then we would have
seen
her. But the fact that we didn't see any of that, I think is a sign that they got what they wanted.
I think that was also in the second episode. I may be wrong there, but it's like I felt there was this weird story arc of Ruthie versus Anissa, and then like they just drop it out. Like out, they're like, "Oh, Ruthie's not fitting in. She has tension with Anissa," and then they're both in the final.
And then there's a scene that they showed in previews for the season that was never in the season at all with her and Nehemiah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they've told all that they want to tell of the story.
Right. Next person, Derek. Yes. There's not really nothing else to say.
Nothing else.
He wants to do it. He's in his late 30s. Like in terms of these casts, he's going to be in the prime of his life.
they let him close the reunion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That as much as this was made from Mark, this was also made from Derek because he's been begging for something like this for so long. Easy. Speaking about easy, the next person is Big Easy. And that's a yes. He's going to want to come. Well, he's going to want to come back. And I think they will bring him back.
Not next season. I think he's out for next season. And I think we'll see him on a future one.
I might go ahead and burn through one more now and then be done.
Well, yeah, that's a potential.
The only thing left of his story is to possibly contend on a TJ's final.
Right.
And like, that the likelihood of that happening is better next season than three seasons from now.
Right. Yeah. Like, I would say, like, I love me some Big Easy. His goal should be don't come in last. Because, shoot for the stars.
That's not what he said his goal was.
He's going to win one of these motherfuckers. I know. But, yeah, like,
he up the bar. He up the bar. Too much.
Yeah. Then the last person from Johnny's group here, because I have it listed by our teams, Nehemiah. I think if they want him back, he'll be back. Like, I feel there's more to say with him because, but not with what they showed on the show, but what we know off of the show. Like, I think
he had a pretty good story arc throughout. I think they bring him back. I mean, like, he's
hungry.
He's hungry. He's just as physically fit now as he was before, if not better, because like mentally, I feel like he's on an even higher level. And so, no, I think there's still the challenge aspect of the challenge. And I think that's someone that they want to mix.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then starting the Lawrence group, first person is Jemmy. I don't think they call her back for this next season, but she's on the list.
They can bring her back, honestly, whenever they want. If you are looking for pure entertainment and you want to fill a girl's spot, you're putting her on.
Yeah. I would skip the next one and put her on the one after that. Or
like, I agree.
I would use her sporadically. If they do 10 All-Stars, I would put her on three or four of them.
But she also is somebody that I could see making a potential return on the actual challenge season. If we're talking about a couple of people here, she is someone that, just based on this cast list, I could see her going back into the real challenge. I think she prefers All Stars, but if she got the call to go on the other, I think she would take it.
I'm going to tell you, she's been getting calls from the regular season and has been turning them down. She wants to be on All Star. She likes the old school cast a lot more than the new school cast. She fits in more and her game fits in more with an old school cast.
Because she's better at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next person is Kellyanne. And I'm going to say yes, because I think especially from her comments post season, which are very legitimate. I think especially Mark would be an advocate for it. Let's get her back on the season. Let her get her second chance at winning the big money.
There's more to her storyline, and I would like to see it.
Yeah, the story's there. Like, give her a platform. Next person, Ace, his story's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. His story's done. Unfortunately for Ace, I don't see him getting a call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's Darrell. I think if Darrell liked this style of format better than the new seasons, because like the past few seasons, his story has been like, man, like this new cast, this crowd of people, I'm not sure
is he on the next?
No, that's why he was not at the reunion.
Okay.
They filmed the reunion, I think, like just a couple weeks ago, and that's why Anissa's not there.
Okay. So, I mean, if that's what he prefers, I mean, I just feel like there's just so much gas left in the tank.
Oh, I agree. Like, he could be that, like, he's that veteran guy. Like, you talk about rookies and veterans all you want. Like, if you have Darrell on the cable show, he's the veteran. Like, he's the legend, the all-star, the OG that's getting thrown in there. Like, yo, can you guys can I still hang with them? Or more importantly, can y'all hang with me still with some of these? But like, I feel he's the rare person who should be able to mix, pretty much pick and choose where he wants to go, because you saw in the final, he can go. Like, and I feel like him and Yes would have beaten the pretty much the everyone from the double agents final in that double agents final.
Yeah.
Including the winners. Like, I think CT loses to a Yes or a Darrell in that style of final.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Well, it depends who their partner was, though. That's the thing.
I know. I'm looking more abstractly right now. Yeah. It's like, I, you know what? Let me do it. Pair either of them with Kellyanne and they win.
Well, they smoke them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Next person, LT. I don't think he's back on the next season, but I think he has showed enough on this season where he could potentially be back, but it has to be in the right situation.
I'm saying no.
Yeah, I think they got all they could get.
I just would love to see more LT.
I felt him to be very likable, but I think there's so many other people that are going to be more dynamic.
And he was also okay with, he even talked about when he was going into the elimination that he knows other people need this more than he does.
Yeah. And I want to see those people.
Right. I just like seeing the dog come out in him. Like, when he's like in competition mode, I love seeing his competitive side. Like, yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, but I feel like they juiced that berry.
Yep. Right. And now we're going to start the last section of Zach's group. Starting with John A. I love John A. I think she deserves so much more on this season with how she performed on this season. But if I'm speaking from a production standpoint, if they weren't editing her when she was the tied for the top performing women on the season, I think they're like, we don't need to bring her back. I would love to see her be back though.
Yeah. I think it's a no.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a no on my end, but I agree with you, Alex. If we could see her again, I would be there for it, but she just didn't get the airtime, and so we didn't get to know much about her, and then we just saw it again at the reunion. We didn't hear anything from her.
Honestly, I think John A's too normal.
Yeah.
And that's probably why.
Fair enough.
And
like,
huge compliment.
Yeah, and like, yeah, it's a huge compliment, because guess what? More people relate to normal than not. Like, next person is Katie.
No.
Like, if I love Katie, but I feel like at this point they only bring her back to try to get her to break her nose again.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So no, I think she got to give her goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got the update on where her life has progressed to
after
all these years, and I think it's a good story.
She had a good send off, and I like Katie a lot, but I just don't see them picking her for future seasons.
And like, you know what, she had a very noble thing of putting herself to elimination twice. Mm-hmm. I think production doesn't like that.
Yeah,
we want, like, they're thinking the Jemmy mindset of, I want drama here. I want people to say names, and like, that's why a lot of people in the more recent challenges, when they're like, oh, just throw me in, and then they're out, like, guess what? You're never going to see them again.
Yep.
Cyrus. If they invite Alton, they're inviting Cyrus.
But see, I just don't. So my opinion on this, I know you just brought up Alton as well. I don't think we're going to see Cyrus, Nehemiah, and Alton all three together.
No. There's just so many people that you know, they're out. I mean, like there's what, 80 people volunteered to do this thing when Mark, you know, put it out there to begin with. And then, you know, you had COVID, and then it followed by the success of this. There's probably a waiting list of, you know, like 200 plus.
I think Cyrus would be like an alternate potentially, because you know that he would want to do more of these. It's in his nature of wanting to compete and do all this and show what he can do. I think he's a good personality. Like, he gives it in confessionals. I think there's a lot for him to give still, even, you know, approaching 50, and, you know, his story has been told, but, you know, I think people relate to him, And
I think Cyrus is on season 3 and that's it.
Potentially, yeah.
I just think he has one more go in him, maybe, but I don't even know if he'll get that because, as you just said, the list, I'm sure, is growing and growing. And if they get someone on season 2 that outshine people from season 1, all of a sudden people from season 1 are an afterthought and you're just going to be boom, boom, boom down the list. So if you get on there and you can showcase what you can do and you're likable to production, then you're going to keep staying.
But I don't think that Cyrus got that send off.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, so I think he's not on season 2, but I think season 3 he gets the send off.
Yeah. Next person is, I said his name, it's Alton, and I have like a weird like Ysela, I love you, but like I don't think they're going to bring Alton back.
I don't either.
I think, especially from the comments that they put on the show during the final, where he was actually like, if I wasn't tethered to someone, I would have quit already.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I said, he's possibly one of the most beautiful humans ever created.
Sculpted.
He's a fucking sculpture. But I don't sit there, I'm not compelled by anything. Like, you know, like he's not this dynamic personality. In addition, like if his personality matched that body, is just like, holy moly, this is the greatest reality television character of all time. And it's not.
Right. Like, I feel like you have Alton in there to be in eliminations and he isn't about that life anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think we got the goodbye story of Alton, but I don't think they're in the goodbye Alton.
I think there's plenty of other guys that they're like that are not begging, but like being like, yo, I'm ready.
Yeah, they want to give those other guys a shot because we didn't get what they maybe potentially wanted out of Alton.
And like when you're also gonna have some of the more modern guys, like I'm sure in season 2 or season 3 of this, if it keeps going, we're gonna see Wes show up.
Yep.
We're going to see Bananas show up. We're gonna see some of like the newer, like the middle school, like they aren't the new school, they aren't the old school, but they're in that middle zone. Like, you know, like we could even potentially, I don't know how they would make this work, potentially see a Kenny or an Evan show up. I doubt it, but there's possibilities there. We could see Leroy.
I don't think we'll ever see Evan.
You know what I'm saying though. Like there's a lot of like Kohata was cut from the season. Kohata is a scrappy underdog that people like seeing in elimination because it's showing that like underdog being Goliath. Like he misses opportunity. We had Abram who could have been on season. Like, there's
Landon,
yeah. Which obviously from what I've heard, very specific situations would have to develop in order for him to be on the show. But man, I would love to see Landon back on. Like, there's just so much. That's the thing that we're saying is
Leroy.
Leroy. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Man. Then we're going to round it out with these two people. Arissa, lover.
Yeah.
Don't curse me.
Yes.
But I think we're running with the TJ. Goodbye. See you. Hope to see you never.
Yeah.
For the show. Yes. For the show.
Without real life.
But what an exit.
Yes. Yes. No, yeah, it was great. We got her goodbye. It's there.
Her story ended.
I'm done.
Yeah, that was it. That's all we needed. That was one of the best exits I've ever seen. Love it.
Yeah.
Just want to rephrase again. Arissa, love you. Don't jinx us. And then lastly, Trishelle.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see her in another one.
I think like a lot of these people, I feel like they would more see like, hey, can you help us advertise this show? Put it out there.
I think Trishelle was the perfect face for season 1 of All Stars. I mean, you know, she was doing, you know, Bravo, she media wise, she was number 1 across the board. I mean, in the history of reality television, I think of reality television stars appearances across television shows of all time, number 1 is Trishelle, number 2 is Johnny Fairplay. So because at one time, like I was at 70 something and she was like at 80 something.
Yeah. Like, and I've seen her posts about the show. Like, she loved the season, and she was very supportive of the castmates and the production and all of that. So I can see her being a good advocate and spokesperson for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think she's done.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
unless,
like,
unless they switch the format to Pin the Tail on the Donkey and shoot using the sand
and some drinks by the pool.
Drinks by the pool.
Drinks by the pool.
There you go. Well, man, that rounds it out. Gotta say, great season. Really, no complaints. We have just a couple. Other than that, I think what the push Mark Long did, truly incredible. I cannot wait to see how many seasons of this that we get, because people are clamoring for this. They want to see old school people come out and compete. And I gotta say, I was so impressed by how strong they were, especially at the age they are now.
Yeah. And thanks.
I'm not even going to say the age they are now. Like, age is all but a number. If you have the drive to want to do this, you're going to put your body to the work to get it done.
Well, I can
tell but they're in better shape than people that are in the, you know, the regular challenge seasons now, because they
doesn't matter what shape you're in. Like, 47 can't beat 27. So God bless them for just for walking.
For walking.
Oh, man. So, and thanks to our boy Pete putting together an awesome soundtrack throughout this. And yeah, we'll be back with do we have a name for the next challenge season?
I haven't heard a legitimate name, but some of the names that were coming up, I'm like, yikes, that's not a name.
Okay.
That's just putting words, word vomit onto a screen.
Yeah, okay. All I know is that it's, you know, veterans paired up
from what I heard, it was like dual spies and allies. And I was like, so they're like doing double agents, but not doing double agents. There's no skulls, but like, you go into elimination and then you can steal a partner when you win. It's, I think it sounds like almost as if you're forced to steal someone every single time you win elimination, which could be interesting, but also we don't know over half the cast because they're all international people that no one knows.
And they've gone into quarantine 2 times.
With people DQing because of that. So the cast has kept switching and changing. And I've been trying to avoid as many spoilers as I can, because I like to enjoy podcasting about season and not knowing the result.
Right, because they've had to bring in specific alternates, especially because of the second quarantine, because I'm not going to say names or anything, because I don't like to see spoilers at all. I prefer not seeing anything on my Twitter, but, you know, Twitter sucks sometimes.
I was close.
Starlet 7 is suggesting that the potential name is Spies, Lies, and Allies.
Yeah, that's the name I saw.
Yeah, I hate it. Don't like it. Can't stand it.
The thing is, in production, they very well could change it. Like, both War of the World, or like the second War of the Worlds season, was not originally called War of the Worlds. And you can clearly tell at the beginning of the season that they had to doctor it and have TJ say off screen what the name of the season was.
Yeah, I feel like All Stars was the same.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know what? MTV, you did such. Look at All Stars. Look how simplistic it was. Look how much.
I still didn't like it. I didn't like the name All Stars.
I know you didn't, but I'm just saying, not the title, but the format, how you pick your cats. Like, you're picking people that we know. Pick people that we know. I don't want to see 5 people from Survivor Romania.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess what? We're American trope. We don't care.
Yeah, I do a Survivor podcast, and I don't watch Survivor fucking Romania.
Yeah, like, we like Kyle. We can keep Kyle.
Yeah.
Everyone else can fucking go. Oh, and Big T can stay too.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Gabby can hang out over here at my house. I don't even know.
Well, she'll have the time, because I'm not seeing her getting casted again on a future challenge season.
Oh, well, she's more than welcome. Gisela and Gabby.
Cool. You're just getting a whole list now.
All right. Well, with that, Alex, I think we have several commercials to run.
Okay, I'll run several commercials then. But with that, before we head out, please like the video, subscribe to Reality NSFW, click that bell for notifications. And if you like what we do, become a patron for Reality NSFW.
Yeah, go to adfreensfw.com. We are starting coverage of Australian Survivor Season 3 from 2018. We'll be watching episode each week episodically and then doing a podcast afterwards. We did the cast assessment on Tuesday. Very fun episode. And as I said, the episodes you get to watch, they drop on Fridays and then the subsequent podcast on Tuesdays or Wednesdays following that on the Patreon. So that's at adfreensfw.com. Try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, I will send your money back. No one is being held hostage. Adfreensfw.com. Once we hit, 200, I'm getting a tattoo of Matt Bischoff on me. So if you hate me and you would tattoos hurt a lot and I cry. And so if you would like to make me cry, lots of people would, become a patron. As I said, we hit 200 in 1 month. I'm getting a tattoo. You can drop the next month. I don't care. Just one time. So adfreensfw.com. Let's get me tatted up and crying.
Yeah, yeah, and also might I add, specifically join for the Q&A. You are not going to hear any other stories out there. I know Johnny just dropped the Mikey B Q&A, and that is a little bit of a taste of what we get as patrons over at NSFW.
There's some tea spilt on that, huh?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so much tea. But with that, please keep it positive. If you don't like the video, don't click the dislike. You don't have to listen to it. We're not forcing you to listen to it. Yeah. Leave positive feedback. Yeah. And you know what? Constructive criticism is great. I'm all for it. We got our ads right here. You can at me and talk to me and see how I can do better or how we can do better.
Just add Alex. Leave me alone.
Just be good people. Just be good people. We're here to have a good time. Awesome. But with that, we're going to show some of our sponsors and have a good night, everyone.
Reality NSFW listeners, Father's Day is just around the corner and you probably need a gift for your hairy dad. Make your dad proud this year and get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the Lawnmower 4.0. And today you can get 20% off and free shipping if you use that code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com.
Now listen, I'm a dad, and you know how I became a dad? By shaving my balls! You're not making kids with hairy balls. No one's going down there. I got the opportunity to make lots more kids and celebrate Father's Day the only way I know how, by making kids. So here we go. Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming and just launched their Lawnmower 4.0. Imagine surprising your dad with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized body hair trimmer that says, "Your balls will thank you," on the box. Their fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. You might ask, how is the Lawnmower 4.0 different from other trimmers? Well, this upgraded trimmer includes a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. This is a great feature if your father or yourself do a lot of traveling. Lord knows I do. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when you need a more precise shave. That's right. You can now shave your balls in the dark. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. Now, the new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. Yeah, you heard that right. Wireless charging ball trimmers are a real thing now.
Have you ever seen a nose bush sticking out of your dad's nose? Well, the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer is the best nose hair trimmer on the market and the perfect gift for your pops. They also have other amazing products like cologne, crop mop ball wipes, crop reviver ball toner. They also have other amazing products like cologne, crop mop ball wipes, crop reviver ball toner, and crop preserver ball deodorant. For all the females listening, you'll appreciate this part. Manscaped products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, dye-free, and vegan. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Get your dad a gift you know they will use. Get Manscaped.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use promo code SURVIVOR. Don't forget that you came from your dad's balls this year. Show your original home some love with Manscaped. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made by people, not patients, Lucy's created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually does taste great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. I'm so excited that Lucy is sponsoring us because one of my best friends in the world, he's trying to quit smoking. His girlfriend's been getting on him for years. He's a big menthol smoker, and the wintergreen flavor is a really nice substitute for him that he absolutely loves. So this is the thing that you need to check out if you've been trying to kick your tobacco habits.
I have a family member that's tried the pomegranate, and they say it's one of the greatest tasting gums they've ever had. We're not talking nicotine gum. We're talking any gum. So if you've been discouraged by other nicotine gums, try the pomegranate. And also for the lozenge, the cherry ice is allegedly the best. And you know what? I believe them. But as far as enjoying anywhere, I heard at the gym, you get a little extra bump from the lozenge and from the gum.
Boom. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal, and a subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum and lozenges. That's Lucy, LUCY.co. That's right, CO, and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. So that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR, and we thank them for sponsoring the Reality NSFW podcast. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right. We're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.